Blog Talk Radio.
Preview, update on the quarterbacks, good things going on in the NFL, a lot of good games this week. You know, and I say this when I get on the air, I always like to remind everybody how short the NFL season is. You know, baseball starts, April, that's first game, and it goes to October. So April's a fourth month, October's, that's 6 months of baseball. Basketball starts, November? Goes to June. You know, that's 8 months. You know, those are the other two major sports. I really don't count hockey. I'm sorry. You know, and no offense to any hockey fans out there. You're not on my radar. I'm sorry. You're just not. I don't get hockey. It's just not my thing. But I mean, I respect the game. You know, it's a sport. But, you know, to me, when you're looking at the popularity in sports, you know, football's number one. I gotta say basketball's probably number two right now. You know, if you look at ratings, and unfortunately America's favorite pastime, baseball is no longer America's favorite pastime. And I think a lot of it is because it's too many doggone games. You know, I mean, you know, you got your diehards, you got your, you know, your diehard Yankee fans, your diehard Red Sox fan. I'm a Red Sox fan. You know, the Mets and all that. You know, you have your diehards. You've got your baseball aficionados, you know. I'm broadcasting live from Bristol, Connecticut, the home of ESPN. But what you may not know is Bristol, Connecticut is also a big baseball town. Routinely will host a Little League World Series. And used to be the minor league home of the Boston Red Sox when I was a lad, and Jim Rice and Butch Hobson came through Bristol. So I mean, I understand, you know, the passion. Every sport has passion. Look, soccer worldwide, right? Number one sport worldwide, right? There's a lot of passionate soccer fans out there worldwide. You know, so I understand. But you know, when you look at football, the first game is played in September, and for 3 quarters, right? I don't know what you got. 8 teams in both. All right, so okay, maybe not 8. Okay, maybe not 3 quarters. 32 teams, so 16 teams make the playoffs, right? All right, so for half of the fans, at the end of December, it's over. You know, you still watch football, you know, because you want to see, you know, the other team that you don't like. You want to see how well they're going to do or not do. You know, and if you're a football aficionado, you're still going to watch it. But for your individual team, you know, to see how well they're doing, you know, after New Year's, it's over. You're done. You got from Labor Day, you got 4 months. And, you know, it seemed like just yesterday I was sitting here saying, yay, football, as it was still 80 degrees out and I was out riding my motorcycle and heading to the beach. Well, it's middle of November now. Thanksgiving is next week. And we are literally down to 6 or 7 games left in the NFL. And so, I don't know what you're waiting on. you got to get on the football bandwagon now because it's just about over. It's just about, you're at the end now of the season. You're at the last, you're coming down the stretch now. And as we come down the stretch, we are able to see teams are starting to slowly separate themselves. They're starting to slowly show what they're capable of. And you're starting to see maybe just a little bit of who's starting to rise, cream of the crop, and who's starting to fail. And is it over? I mean, is any team mathematically eliminated? Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we can certainly look at teams like the Panthers at 2-7, or teams like, you know, I believe the Chiefs are 1-8. I'm going to pull up the division records now, so I'm not speaking out the side of my mouth. And so I can speak intelligently. I always usually have the division records up. Well, I do that. Remember, here on the Madden Voice, if you want to call in and talk, 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525. You can certainly send us a tweet and just hashtag TMV, or send it to @the Madden Voice. If you just tweet and I don't, you know, you don't do that, more than likely I'm probably not going to be the tweet. So, you know, give me a little something so I know that you're out there tweeting. And, you know, if you get on Facebook, just look up The Madden Voice on Facebook and just like us, would you? And I'd appreciate that. But, you know, looking at the division records, I mean, is there a team mathematically eliminated? I mean, the Jags at 1-8, the Chiefs at 1-8, the Panthers at 2-7, probably not mathematically eliminated, but you could probably say those three teams ain't going anywhere. But statistically speaking, I mean, the Browns are 2-7, so, you know, again, hypothetically, that's 9 games played. If they went and won the last six, the last seven, they would finish at 9-7. And if the Ravens with 7 wins, you know, so mathematically they're not out of it. The Jags are 1-8. The Texans are 8-1. So, you know, technically, you know, they finish 8-8. Texans could finish 8-8. So even at this stage, nobody is mathematically out of it yet. You know, but you got to start seeing that there are teams. You know, I look at it this way. When you look around the league, if you're at 6 losses or more, it's going to be very difficult for you to make the playoffs. You know, and let's look at the AFC for a second. If you look over at division leaders right now, you've got the Patriots at 6-3, and the Bills got a win last night to bring them to 4-6. Dolphins at 4-6 as well. But you got the Patriots leading the division at 6-3. You've got the Ravens at 7-2. You've got the Texans at 8-1. You've got the Broncos at 6-3. So those are your division leaders right now. And then if you look at wild card, you've got the Steelers at 6-3 and the Colts at 6-3. And those are your wild card teams. So when you look after that, you know, you've got, let's see, Bengals at 4-5, Chargers at 4-5, but they're 2 games out of the wild card hunt right now. So, you know, even at – so that's at 4-5. They're 2 games out of it. So if you're at 6 losses right now, you're really in trouble. You know, your season is on the brink of being a complete failure. You know, let's go over to the NFC. The Giants are at 6-4. The Bears, 7-2. The Falcons, 8-1. And you've got, you know, 49ers, 6-2-1. So you got the freaking tie, which – it's just ridiculous that you have a tie in the NFL. I don't get it, but it is what it is. So then when you look at wild card in the NFC, well, the Packers are sitting at 6-3 right now, so they're an easy lock. And then you've got the Vikings with 4 losses at 6-4. You've got the Seahawks at 6-4, believe it or not, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 5-4. So those are your 3 4-loss teams that are in contention for the wild card spot. And so after that, you've got 1 game out of wild card would be the Cowboys with 5 losses at 4-5. The Saints, yep, I told you they weren't done, at 5-4. You have also the Vikings with 4 losses. So you know, the whole NFC North is still in it. The Vikings, let me see how this would play out. Packers right now, 6-3, so they would be a lock. And then you've got the Vikings and the Seahawks at both 6-4. And then you have the Bucks at 5-4. So those 3 teams, excuse me, those three teams would be in contention for the last wild card spot. And then with five losses, the Cowboys, the Lions 4-5, Cowboys 4-5, Saints 4-5, Cardinals 4-5. Now you have the Rams at 3-5-1. So I mean, you can go on a stretch and say they'd be in the picture too for a wild card, but it's a little tough because that dog on tie. So we don't know how that would play out. But you know, after that, so if you're sitting there with six losses, the Eagles are at six losses, the Redskins are at six losses, the Panthers are at seven losses. You know, so those three teams are really sitting here on the outside looking in right now. They're sitting there, and you know, there's not a lot of hope. And so if you're a fan of those teams, you know, I'd say, you know, you're in trouble. You know what I mean? I mean, we have the Eagles and the Redskins coming up this weekend. That's a huge game. I said the Eagles and the Cowboys was an elimination game. The Eagles went down, and I believe that the Eagles are out of it and they're done now, especially with Michael Vick being out. And you know, but technically at six losses, especially in the NFC East, you're only two games out in a loss column at six losses. So you're in the hunt, but you really have an uphill battle. And the fact that these teams are playing each other, the Cowboys still have three division games, the Eagles still have four division games, the Redskins have five division games left. So you kind of, you know, if the Redskins win five, you know, if they can win all of those games, they play the Cowboys twice, you know, if they can win and beat the Cowboys, you know, can they turn their season around? Sure. But have they put themselves in a hole right now? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, it's going to be very interesting down the stretch to see what teams separate themselves and what teams, you know, stay in contention, you know, and what teams just continue to collapse. No one thought the Eagles would be 3-6 at this point. No one thought that. You know, when you look at the NFC North, I mean, Bears are the class of that division right now. Packers, you know, have finally got it together, so they're breathing right down the Bears' neck. And some people actually have the Packers playing better football than the Bears. I mean, I know they beat them, but 7-2 versus 6-3. I mean, I can see the argument, but it's still 7-2 versus 6-3. But look at that division: Vikings at 6-4, Lions at 4-5. The problem with the Lions is it's not just they're 4-5; they're 0-3 in the division. But the Vikings are 2-0 in the division. So at 6-4 and undefeated in the division, you can't discount them. They're two games out of first place, and they're undefeated in that division. So if they can, you know, come out of that division 4-2, it could be some surprises. You know, the NFC South, you know, Falcons are at 8-1. There's a lot of momentum swinging for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Josh Freeman playing good football and the Bucs defense, and, you know, they got the running back. And, you know, I don't get it, though. I'm not a believer. I'm just not. You're still 5-4. You're certainly in contention for a wild card spot. But I don't see it down the stretch. I just don't. I'm more worried. And I say worried. I'm more expecting the Saints to make a run. I mean, you know, Josh Freeman last year was pathetic. The year before was good. This year started off kind of slow. Now he's picked it up a bit, but he's inconsistent. And so, I mean, he's still a young quarterback, but I'm not ready to, you know, what did Bill Parcells say? Put away the anointing oils. You know, let's see what happens. I'd be more worried about the Saints. You know, the Saints are 4-5 and 2-1 in division. And if they can put together, we know that team can win. That team has put together a series of wins before. So let's see what happens. There's a championship pedigree down there that's not in Tampa Bay. And Carolina, we might as well forget about. The NFC West, very competitive. I mean, you know, Jeff Fisher has brought a competitive nature to St. Louis. He has made them competitive. And that team, you know, took the best team in that division, and some would have said one of the best teams in the NFL. We've said it a lot this year. And you know, played them the five quarters in a tie. Now, I almost want to say, let's not forget that their starting quarterback was out, and they finished with a backup. And we can debate on how good Kaepernick is versus Smith. But Smith is their franchise right now. He is the guy that they've given a range to. He is the guy that took them to a conference championship game last year. You know, when you game plan during the week, he's the one that you're installing your offense for. When you game plan against the Rams, and this is how we're going to beat the Rams, you're setting up plays that are for Alex Smith based on his strength and what you perceive the Rams' weakness to be. So when you take that out of the game and you have to adjust on the fly, you're bringing in your backup, you don't have a plan. You may have a contingency. You may have a few plays. You've learned something during the game, but you're adjusting on the fly because there's just not enough time in the week to install two offenses. There's not enough, and you can't do that every week on the outside chance that your quarterback is going to get hit and knocked out with a concussion. It's just not going to happen. So you've got to spend 95% of your time with the starter, getting him ready to play this team, giving your team the best chance to win. And, you know, you'll give your backup a couple of reps and keep them fresh and let them know what's going on. You know, this is the game plan, but your plan is for Alex Smith. So when he's out, you put Kaepernick in. There's a lot of unknowns on both sides of the ball. So I wouldn't condemn the 49ers for that too much, but I would say that they were smoked by the Giants earlier this year, and we've seen what the Giants have turned into in the last couple of weeks. So let's wait and see. You know, people talk about my Cowboys, but there's a lot of teams that you don't know which team is going to show up. You know, the 49ers are one of those teams. The Giants are one of those teams, and those are teams that people think, you know, could make a run for the Super Bowl. So you just don't know. So that NFC West is kind of wide open. I don't think the Rams are in position to really make a run, but they'll make it interesting. I think the Cardinals are done. They've started off with 4 in a row. They've now lost 5 in a row. I think they're done. The Seahawks, especially the fact that, you know, the Seahawks are 5-0 at home. 5-0 at home. All right. Now I want you to think about that. The only other undefeated team in the NFC at home are the Falcons. And when you go over to the AFC, there's two undefeated teams, Ravens and the Steelers, you know. And so we've got 4 undefeated teams at home, and the Seahawks, 5 of their 6 wins are at home. Now, you look at that and you say, good, they're holding their home field. But we know the Seattle Stadium and the loud crowd, it's almost an unfair home field advantage that they have. It really takes people out of their game, and no matter how you try to game plan for it, it's not the same. And I think that's a lot of it. You know. So with that said, you can't sleep on the Seahawks. Marshawn Lynch, he's a beast. Their defense plays really, really well. The quarterback, I don't know. He's okay. You know, I don't have the stats in front of me, but he's okay. You know, I saw him play against Dallas. I wasn't overly impressed. I thought he was, I don't know. He's okay. You know, he's not great. He's not even good. He's okay. I'd say he's like Josh Freeman. You know, that's kind of how I look at him. He's okay. You know, I don't get excited when I see him. I don't view him as one that's able to make a play. You know, I mean, he's an NFL quarterback. And he's their starter. And he came in and beat out a guy that they paid a lot of money to in the offseason to be the starter. But that guy's also hurt. I don't know if he's healthy now, but I know a few weeks ago he was still hurt. And that guy had only played one game as a pro. And granted, he lit it up that one game, but he played one game. So, you know, let's just see. Let's look over at the AFC for a minute here. You know, the AFC East right now is the Patriots to lose. Certainly, you know, any of the 3 teams after the Patriots can beat the Patriots. We know what we're getting with New England in this late stage of their quote-unquote dynasty. 5 Super Bowl appearances, 3 Super Bowl wins, Belichick, Brady, Welker, you know, the veterans that they have there. We know what we're getting. But we also know that their defense is not what it used to be. It's not the Teddy Bruschi defense. It's not the Richard Seymour defense, the Rodney Harrison defense. It's not that defense. It's not the normal Bill Belichick schemed defense. And we know that. So while they will put up a lot of points, and in 9 games, they put up 300 points in 9 games. So if you do a little quick math, 300 divided by 9, that's 33 points a game. I mean, that's serious. but they've given up 200 points. I'm sorry, 201 points. So, you know, again, that's 22 points a game. So, I mean, yeah, they're winning by 11 points a game, but they're giving up 22 points. The NFL line of demarcation for wins is usually 17 points. It's usually, you know, if you can hold your team to 17 points or less, you're giving yourself a good chance to win. Well, Patriots aren't doing that. They have to outscore their team. They have to outscore their opponent. Shout out to Speculation Sports sitting in the chat room. Just sent me a little wave. What up? Welcome to the Madden Voice. The Patriots aren't doing that. So while I expect them to win the division, while I expect them to do it based on Brady's arm and Brady's health and the number of wins that he has on that team, you can't just hand them the division. They are 3-0 in the division, but you can't just hand it to them because of the fact that that defense is so suspect. But can you go in there and play them and outscore them? I think it's going to be very difficult. I just think that that's the one thing that Belichick is aware, that this team rides on Tom Brady's arm right now. And now Brady gets hurt, forget about it. They won't win a game without Brady. They need his brilliance, and he's still a brilliant quarterback. I did say that he's at the beginning of the decline, but he's so great. You know, don't misunderstand my comments. Don't misunderstand me thinking that at 35, he's at the beginning of the decline. That means he's horrible. No, he's still an elite quarterback. It's just, you know, we're not going to see the Brady of 3 years ago anymore. You know, we're not going to see the dominating games anymore that we used to see. We're going to see good, solid games, but I don't think the dominance is going to be there, you know, unless it's the Jets. Oh, wait a minute. They have next week the Jets. What a mess they are, huh? I've never seen, you know, you talk about the Cowboys getting a lot of press. I've never seen a team at 3-6 get so much press. You know, I mean, Woody Johnson comes out as the owner, and he says, I didn't draft Tim Tebow for the press. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. It makes me think of the movie Social Network. The line of the movie, right, where Zuckerberg says, or the guy who plays Zuckerberg says, you didn't create Facebook. I created Facebook. If you had created Facebook, you would have created Facebook. Right? That was a line of the movie. You know, don't sue me because I stole your idea. If you did it, you would have done it. Right? The guy comes on, press conference, cameras blaring, microphones in his face, and says, we didn't draft Tim Tebow for the attention. We didn't draft him for the press coverage. And you're saying that for the press after a week where Tebow's been on the Today Show. You're saying that when 12 anonymous players come on and say he's terrible. You're saying that when Champ Bailey comes out and says Tim Tebow is, you can't go by what you see in practice. You have to see him in the game. People are saying, is he going to be a Jet next year? Why isn't Rex Ryan starting him? Every other news conference, Rex Ryan is defending his choice to go with Mark Sanchez. The team is 3-6. They're pathetic. Bear with me, guys. Got to drink this water. Unexpectedly, I went out last night. I had a great night. But, you know, the liquid refreshments were flowing. So now I'm on water to recuperate. So if my normal voice is a little off, I apologize. I really, really do. But, you know, how do you come on and say, we didn't draft Tebow for the press, but I'm sitting here talking to the press. I just don't get it. I don't get it. You know, the Jets are on First Take almost every day. If they didn't have Tim, let me tell you something. First Take. If they didn't have, for football, okay, the Cowboys, the Eagles, and the Jets, they'd have nothing to talk about. It's as simple as that. They are the most popular show on ESPN, and one of the reasons is they talk about the Cowboys, Tim Tebow, and, of course, now Michael Vick, which is newsworthy. But you watch the show. They'll even revisit a topic. They'll start off the show with, do you think the Cowboys will make the playoffs? And then in the second hour, say, so what do you think the Cowboys' chances of making the playoffs? And I'm sitting there like, didn't you just talk about that an hour ago? Even I get a little sick of it, and I'm a Cowboy fan. And Skip Bayless, with his 1.4 million Twitter followers, is sucking up all the Tim Tebow. He's a gamer. He's a ball. You guys want to hear that? I don't want to play it yet. Maybe I'll play it before you go. Shout out to Dr. Train. See him out there listening to the Madden voice. He'll let me know if he wants to come on and comment, but appreciate the support, my brother. But, you know, it's real simple that owners are marketing their teams. They may be running their teams too. We know Jerry Jones is also general manager, right? They're marketing, they're managing. I get it. It's NFL's a $10 billion business. I get it. Sponsors and ads and contracts, and I get it. It's a money maker. But you guys have to realize something about football. And I think sometimes because we play fantasy football and we play Madden, that and you know, there's a younger generation coming up, and you make comments like bench Tony Romo, bench Michael Vick, you know, fire this coach or fire that coach, or you know. And you guys have to understand, and this is where I think the NFL Nation is woefully misinformed, is on the business side of the NFL, the money side of the NFL, the financial side of the NFL. I don't think people truly understand that when you sign a Michael Vick to a $100 million contract, you can't just cut him. You can't just trade him. You can cut him. You can release him. But you're paying. There's guaranteed money that Michael Vick's going to get. Guaranteed. So if the Eagles said, we're going with Nick Foles, we're putting Michael Vick on the bench, you are now paying him game checks to sit on the bench, number one. Okay. The end of the season, you say, I'm going to release him. So what happens is, in the contract, it says this money is guaranteed. So if you let him go, you don't have to pay him $100 million, but you have to pay him $30. And guess what? That's $30 million that you can't pay somebody else, because we have a salary cap in the NFL, which means even if he's on another team and even if another team inherits his contract, right, because that's what happens. The other team says, we'll trade. We'll take Michael Vick. What's the remaining numbers on his contract? He's got 5 years left for $40 million. Fine. We can afford that. We think he's good enough. We'll take it. Okay? But that guaranteed money? You're still paying. I saw this firsthand in Dallas in the 90s, and one of the reasons the Cowboys became so woeful in the late 90s under Dave Campo is because in the Jimmy Johnson era, this was salary cap kicked in 94. Before that, there was no salary cap. You guys may be a little young to remember the old Deion Sanders commercials when he was signed to Dallas. And there was a big controversy because at the time he was the highest paid player in the NFL when Dallas signed him. And I think it was a pizza commercial. You probably find it on YouTube. And I think it was, do you want this or that? And he'd say both. And it was Jerry Jones and Deion Sanders. And the other thing, Deion, $15 million or $20 million? Both. And he actually got signed for $35 million. And it was the highest paid salary of all time at that point in time. Look at where we've come in 15 years or 20 years. But one of the reasons the Cowboys had so much problem getting quality players after their run in the early 90s is because they were still paying players like Deion and some of the big money players that either retired or they cut or they traded because they signed these big contracts without a salary cap. Salary cap came into play. And they now, instead of having, hey, you can pay whatever you want, now it's like, I mean, as long as you can afford it, now it's like, oh, no, you can't. Now you're limited, okay? And salary cap's been in place for about 18 years now. So the point is, when you're looking around the NFL and you're looking at teams, fans, and you're looking at coaches and you're looking at, you know, player personnel, this isn't Madden. You know, this is not fantasy football where you make a trade, and as long as the commissioner approves it or the league approves it, you can go ahead and trade, you know, a Adrian Peterson for, you know, a third string quarterback and next year's draft pick. This is the NFL. That shit doesn't happen. You know, and I think people should really look into that a little bit more. When you get on your bandwagon on Sunday and your team is playing poorly and not doing well, I think you should really, before you start screaming, bench him, cut him, trade him, get on the website. Look at how many years he has left. How much guaranteed money? What's available in the salary cap? Is it even possible? I say don't bring me problems. Bring me answers. Bring me solutions. You know? Bring me solutions. You call into this show and you want to say get rid of Romo? You tell me who we're going to get and where we're going to find the money to pay for him. Now, Romo has 1 year left on his contract, so I'd say fine. You know, you probably could figure something out with 1 year left on his contract. But what are you going to do? Who are you going to get? You're going to go and get a rookie or what? It's just not that simple. Anyway, I had to get off my soapbox there for a second. AFC North, we were going to talk about next. Ravens, Steelers. It's going to boil down to, but don't sleep on those Bengals. Did you see the whooping they put on those Giants? You know, did you see, you know, there's just something with that team. They're another, which team is going to show up? You know, division game, a better team than people give them credit for. I don't think they're at the Steelers or Ravens level yet. But, you know, if Ben Roethlisberger is out for a few games, this could allow a Bengals to slip in there and become a competitive force in that division. Now, granted, they're 3 games behind the Ravens, 2 games behind the Steelers, but there's 7 games to go. So you got to keep an eye on them. Now, one of the problems is they're 1-3 in their division. The Ravens and the Steelers are undefeated in the division, but that's going to come to a head this week, and one of them is going to go down and lose a game in the division. And wouldn't it be something if the Steelers were able to pull this out? I'm going to talk about games in a few minutes, but wouldn't it be something if the Steelers are able to, now they are home, but if they're able to beat the Ravens at home with Leftwich and without Ben, can you imagine the confidence that it gives that team down the stretch to take out their nemesis, their arch rival, with their backup quarterback? I'll tell you. AFC South, you've got the Texans running away with it. Keep an eye on those Colts. And, man, what a game we've got this weekend. Andrew Luck and the Colts go to Foxborough to face Tom Brady and the Patriots, both teams at 6-3. You know, the Colts are looking real good for a wild card. Right now, it's them and the Steelers. And to be honest, you know, they're 2 games up on the nearest team. So they've got a little bit of a cushion. They, you know, this is one of the things you want to do in the NFL. You want to get out of the blocks pretty fast. You know, if you can come out of the first 10 games with 6 or 7 wins, you're in really good shape down the stretch. I mean, whether you have injuries, whether your team is just tired, you're in really good shape. You think about it. If you start off 7-3 with six games to go and you split, you're still 10-6. And most seasons, 10-6 will get you a wild card. Most seasons, 10-6 is going to get you in there. You may or may not win a division, but 10-6 most times is going to do it for you. So, you know, at 6-3, Colts are looking really good right now. Titans, another team. Which team is going to show up? 4-6. So I'd say the Texans have got that division. I don't see anyone really. I mean, the Colts may make it interesting, but they're going to win the division. Yeah, you know? And you know, there's a lot of talk about Wade Phillips and how great of a defense he is. Defensive coach he is. Listen, all you people out there looking for a new head coach next year, trust me on this one. There's a few assistants you don't want to hire, okay? And at the top of that list is Wade Phillips. He is not a head coach. Trust me. Let him stay right where he is as a defensive coordinator. And Houston better, you know, lock him in. And I think they might have given him another contract. I don't know. But they better lock him in and keep him there because you don't want him as a head coach. Trust me on that. Last division, AFC West. Can't say it's a complete surprise. The Broncos did win the division last year, but it was at 8-8. So, you know, and I did hear on one of the shows a very good point that when you're looking at an MVP candidate, is is Peyton Manning getting a little too much credit? He did take a playoff team that actually had a playoff win, and now he's winning a division. So we're not talking about a team like a Miami or a Minnesota or a Jacksonville or a team that was hapless that he's turning around. This team he came to had a good defense. Tim Tebow was able to get, I think he was 7-4. And, you know, it's drilled into my head just like all of yours because of Skip Bayless. But 7-4, turned that team around, went into the playoffs, beat K-Star Steelers. And we know Tebow can't, you know, he can't hold Peyton Manning's jock. And so I guess we can't overrate what Peyton's doing, but it's still incredible. You know, it's still a guy that didn't play for a year, 4 neck surgeries, all the criticism he got in the beginning of the year, the questions around did the Colts make the right decision going with Luck. And it's funny that both teams are sitting at 6-3 right now. And so you've got a situation like you had in Green Bay where Aaron Rodgers went in and played well, and Brett Favre still managed to be productive going to – well, he did okay with the Jets, but he really had a phenomenal year when he went to Minnesota the following year. And so people are like, well, you know, who made the right decision? Well, they both did. And I think this is a similar situation where it worked out for both teams. And so I think the Broncos are going to win a division. But let me be clear. The schizophrenic Chargers, another – which team is going to show up. They can beat anybody at any given time. The problem there is Norv Turner is not a head coach. And that's it. It's as simple as that. You stick in a Bill Cowher. You stick in a maybe if Jeff Fisher had went there. You know who would be really good, I think, in San Diego is Eric Mangini. God, I like him. And I think he brings the kind of quiet, firm, but authoritative leadership that team could need, and he could make that team a Super Bowl contender. But not Norv Turner. You know, and I think he's done at the end of the year, so I don't expect much from them. They'll win a few games, and they'll make it interesting. But Peyton is not going to let the Broncos fail. Peyton is the head coach of that team. Make no mistake about it. It is not John Fox. John Fox is a figurehead. Peyton Manning is running that team, okay? And John Fox is smart enough to let Peyton run that team. Okay, it's as simple as that. And let me, you know, before we look at the upcoming games, let me, I've heard a lot about, we talked about Tim Tebow, Jets a little bit earlier, but let me make a comment about Tim Tebow, okay? And, you know, as Stephen A. Smith would say, I'm going to be serious for a minute here. Guy makes me laugh, you know, it's such so much drama. I'm going to be serious, though, for a minute. I've watched him play, and I've seen quarterbacks like him come into this league with a lot of fanfare, first-round draft picks. We saw Brady Quinn. We've seen, Vince Young. We've seen Matt Leinart. You know, we've seen – I don't know, maybe Brady Quinn wasn't first-round pick, but Matt Leinart was a first-round pick. Vince Young was a first-round pick. We've seen first-round picks come into league and struggle before, but – they were starters, and they were given somewhat of a chance. Remember Jamarcus Russell, right? Number one draft pick, Oakland Raiders, $70 million contract, failed miserably, right? So we've seen it happen. I got to tell you, and I know there's a lot of people that don't have any sympathy, particularly African-American quarterbacks, because they feel like this is par for the course. But I got to tell you, it is a shame what has happened to Tim Tebow. And it is interesting that a guy who has not had a true opportunity to be successful in the NFL, and he's still on the front page of newspapers, First Take, NFL.com, the question on should he start, where he's going to play next year. And it's because there is something about him as a leader that is different from these other guys that I mentioned. You know, Cam Newton should watch Tim Tebow because Cam Newton ain't no leader. I'm sorry. RG3, I see some traits there. Andrew Luck, I see some traits there. But when you look around the NFL and you look at quarterbacks and you look at leaders, Tim Tebow is a leader. He leads by example. He works hard. He's enthusiastic. This guy deserves a shot to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Let him fail. I don't think he can throw. I've seen it. You know, I think the right team should develop, you know, the run spread option, some sort of variation of the wildcat, some sort of, you know, let's take into effect that this guy is mobile, agile, and can run the football, and let's keep that threat alive, but let's keep working on his mechanics and keep working on him throwing, and let's see what we can do. We saw it in Denver. We saw flashes of brilliance. We saw, you know, times where he played really, really well, and I just feel like he deserves a shot somewhere as a starting quarterback. When I look around the NFL and I see some of the quarterbacks out there now that I'm just not impressed with, and I think this guy's sitting on the bench behind Mark Sanchez, who's just not very good anymore. He's just done. I don't get it. I mean, Rex Ryan is just stubborn, stupid, and ignorant. You know, at 3-6, it is now time. It was past time. You tell your franchise quarterback, I have a number one draft pick breathing down your neck, and I'm not losing my job for you. So if you don't, you know, I mean, you probably should have said this 3 or 4 games ago when you were 3-3. If you don't string together some wins, and I know what I said, quarterbacks don't win, quarterbacks play. Okay, well, he's not playing well. So if Sanchez doesn't play well and doesn't string together some wins, I'd say, you know, I'm going to have to sit you, and we're going to have to go with the backup. We're going to have to give him a shot. You know, this guy's a first-round draft pick, national champion in college. Guy that just came out of the playoffs last year. Oh, and by the way, beat the Jets on his way to get into the playoffs last year. The Jets didn't make the playoffs last year. And consider that when you hear about the players that threw Tebow under the bus. Ain't that some bull? This is your teammate. What'd he do to you? You just jealous because every time you turn on TV, they're talking about him. That's not his fault. He didn't do anything to you. You know, that's just cowardly. You know, if you're going to say something, be a man. Put it out there. Or just stay quiet. You got to get some water, guys. 347-838-9525. God, got to love my cold water. All right. So the latest on the NFL quarterbacks that looks to me like what we know right now is Michael Vick is not playing on Monday. What we know now is Big Ben is not playing on Monday. What we know is Alex Smith looks like he's going to play. These guys are playing Monday. Alex Smith plays Monday, right? So, yeah, it's the 49ers and the Bears are Monday night. So Alex Smith is looking like he's going to play. Train may know this. I'm not sure on Jay Cutler's status. If I had to guess, I'd say it's up in the air. It's 50-50 on Jay Cutler Monday night. So he's the one I'm not clear on. Vic is out. Big Ben, out. Alex Smith, as of right now, he's playing. And Jay Cutler, it could go either way. Now, let me just say this. Let's talk about the Bears 49ers and if Cutler doesn't play. Now, I know that you know, Train would see this differently because he's a Bears fan and he's supposed to. But let me be clear. Jason Campbell ain't that good. I don't know where this groundswell of support came from Jason Campbell. I watched Jason Campbell 2 games a year in Washington for 5 years, was it? 6 years? I don't even know how many years. I watched him. I watched him fail miserably and then Todd Collins come in and win games at 38 years old, never had been a starter in 10 years for the Redskins, and Campbell gets hurt, and Collins comes in and is able to win games that Campbell just couldn't win. He's not very good. He is a backup, and he will remain. He will not. His days of being a starter are over. You know, he is now descending like Vince Young. Okay, Vince Young was a starter, then he became a backup, and now he's not in the NFL. Can you believe that? Vince Young is not in the NFL. You know, it's amazing. Well, Jason Campbell is not that far ahead of him right now. Now, I mean, he could come out and have a good game against the 49ers. It's not impossible for any of these quarterbacks to play one good game. We saw Matt Flynn do that with the Packers last year and lent to a very exciting offseason contract for him. We saw that, okay, and good for him. And Jason Campbell could come out against the 49ers and play a good game, maybe even pull out a win. But he's not your answer, Chicago fans. He's not the guy that's going to get you into the playoffs. And pray to God that Cutler, who apparently has had concussions since his days in Vanderbilt, is cleared to play Monday night and plays well. And, you know, win or lose at this point, you certainly want to win. But more importantly is you want Cutler to come back and play well and know that you can ride his arm down the stretch. That's the guy that you want to put your franchise on this year, not Jason Campbell. If Jason Campbell has to take over that team for an extended period of time, you're done. You will not make the playoffs. I will promise you that. And I knew that would get Train in, but I had it on my agenda anyway. So let's he's not going to believe me, but I actually had that on my agenda. Dr. Train, welcome to the Madden Voice.
What's up, team? Commish, I think you put in like, I think you have the mindset of the fans mixed up when it comes to the quarterback position. No fan thinks that Jason Campbell is the answer for Chicago. It's not what the Chicago fan base is coming from when it comes to the backup. When the Chicago fan base look at Jason Campbell, they look at him relative to Caleb Haney. That's what we're coming from. We're saying that Jason Campbell is better than Caleb Haney. And because he's better than Caleb Haney, and because our defense is playing lights out, and because we do have Matt Forte and Michael Bush, Chicago can win some games from the teams that are in my schedule with Jason Campbell. I think Chicago can beat Minnesota. It can beat Arizona without Cutler. I think they can actually probably get Seattle without Cutler. Now, Cutler's only going to be out one game. He might not this game, so it'll be just. But we're definitely not looking for this guy to take us to the promised land. It's just relative to what we had to endure last year. Last year we had to endure Caleb Haney losing
five out of
remaining six games and us missing the playoffs when we were sitting at 7-3.
You saying that is kind of like saying that, I'm not worried about Nick Foles, but at least he's better than Donovan McNabb. Donovan McNabb right now, or his last stint in the NFL, was terrible. Okay, so we're not saying much, all right? You're not saying anything by saying he's better than Caleb Haney. Maybe for your team, that's refreshing, but I'm better than Caleb Haney. I mean, Caleb Haney was horrible. Terrible. All right. So
and he's not.
You there?
Okay. It's bad. I don't know why it started to break up. I missed like part of what you said. Say it again now.
I said Caleb Haney is not a measuring stick for any quarterback in the NFL. He's as bad as we've seen in the NFL. Terrible. He was horrible. Okay. So to say, well, we got somebody better than him, to me, I could have went out there and played as well as Caleb Haney. He was that bad. So, yeah, I agree. Jason Campbell's better than Caleb Haney. But not very good. If one game, then that's good for you. If it's only one game, then that's good for you. But what I'm saying is this week we're talking about, you know, all that they've been talking about is NFL quarterbacks and how long are they going to be out. And, you know, when you're talking concussions, you know, we these guys come back and can play well. But all I was saying is I think there's too high of a value placed on what Jason Campbell can do. Yes, Matt Forte can run the ball, whether it's Cutler or whether it's Campbell handing it to him. But Brandon Marshall, Brandon Marshall ain't saying nothing to me because Brandon Marshall needs Jay Cutler. That's his quarterback. They have a chemistry that's not replaceable. And, you know, Campbell is not going to make Marshall shine like Cutler can do. It's
obvious.
It's not going to happen. So you guys have a great defense, and that's going to help. The defense is playing lights out, and that's going to help. But my point is, when I watch the coverage and people were, you know, talking about Francis Kaepernick and all that, I'm sitting there like, oh, take Jason Campbell. And I'm like, really? I take Kaepernick. You know, I watched him play, you know, the second half of the game against the Rams, and I saw this guy making plays. I was pretty impressed with him. And I've seen Campbell's career, and, you know, then my brother gets at him because Jason Campbell's an Auburn guy, and my dad's a big my dad's from Alabama, the state of Alabama, but he's a big Auburn fan. And my brother, oh, you got Jason Campbell, you know, cut him some slack, man. Black quarterback coming from, you know, Auburn, you know, cut him some slack. I'm like, he's not very good. You know, I think RG is good. You know, I think Cam Newton is pretty good. I think he's a little overrated, but I think he's pretty good. But I just don't see it in Jason Campbell. But so you're saying Cutler is what do you think the chances of Cutler playing Monday night?
Man, 50-50 at this present moment. He hasn't practiced all week.
Okay.
So it's really highly likely that he'll probably see this. I mean, it's cool that it's Monday night, so they do have an extra day, but it's highly that it's it. But I will say I really don't agree with your assessment of Jason Campbell. I don't think he's as bad as you paint him to be. I saw what he did with the Redskins, and yeah, with the Redskins, he was in really sucky situations. I mean, he had a different offensive coordinator probably every season he was down there. Now, when he played with the Raiders, he got better. And he was they actually had a winning record before he got injured, before they traded to go get Carson Palmer. The thing with that team actually had a winning record under Jason Campbell, and he was playing pretty well.
Yeah.
So I don't totally agree with the assessment that you have of him, because you only mentioned him being with the Redskins.
Okay, but why isn't he – if he was playing so well with the Raiders, why isn't he there? Why didn't they – I mean, why is he gone? Why did they
– They're under new management, man. I mean, they traded, they sold the house for Carson Palmer, so it's obviously they're gonna roll what they sold the house with. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Plus, you got to consider Jason Campbell is coming off an injury.
Okay, but you
he
can't.
He's coming off an injury.
Wait. You can't sit here and say I don't agree with your assessment. He's playing well in Oakland before he got, and then he never plays another game in Oakland.
I don't agree that he's as bad as you paint him to be. Okay, now some teams, if teams didn't want to take a chance on him being a starter, that's those teams' choice. Okay, but you're painting him to be like this really horrible quarterback. I don't think he's that bad. That's your words, though.
I said he's better than Caleb Haney. Don't misquote me. I just said he's not very good. But hold on. Stay on point for a second here.
You didn't say terrible?
I said he's not very good. That's what I said. Not very good. I said Caleb Haney is horrible. He's better than that, but he's not very good. But let's stay on point here for a minute. Played well in Oakland. He played so well in Oakland that when he got hurt, they went out and got another franchise quarterback off his couch to come in and take over the team, and they proceeded to let Jason Campbell go. And now he played so well that no team offered him a starting job this year, and he is now backing up your team. So I understand that you don't think he's as bad as I'm saying, but look at the facts. If he played that well, why is he not starting somewhere in the NFL? Why do we have six rookies starting this year, and Jason Campbell is your vet who played well with Oakland is sitting on the bench backing up? The reason
you can paint him as not that good. I just think when I listen to you talk about Jason Campbell, I don't think he's as bad as you describe.
Well,
he's not a starter, he's not a starter. I mean, there are good backups in the league. Teams need good backups for situations like this. Okay, it sucks when there's a huge drop off between your starter and your backup, and not everybody can have, you know.
Well,
what I'm saying?
Look at the guy who's at 7 years in his career and he's a backup. He's not at 15 years and winding down. He's not at the end of his career like Donovan McNabb. He's in the prime of his career and he's a backup. That's got to tell you something. And unlike Tim Tebow, who really hasn't been given a chance, Campbell was a starter in Washington for many years. Now, you're right. He had different offensive coordinators 4 years in a row, offensive coordinator. But why is that? They had talent in Washington. They were trying to figure out an offense that this guy could be productive in. And, you know, is that 100% his fault? No, I'll grant as a quarterback, that's not the ideal situation to be in. But if you're productive, winning games and productive, they're not going to change offensive on you each year. There's something, there has something to do with the makeup of the offense, which is led by the quarterback, that has someone saying, hey, this didn't work, we need to go into another direction. Okay, this didn't work, we need to go into another direction. So he's given a chance, another chance, another chance, another chance. And finally, they said, okay, this isn't working, we're not renewing your contract. No. All right. He goes over to Oakland, fresh start, able to put together a few games, play well. I you know, I don't disagree with that. And I even said he could go in Monday night and play well against 49ers. But can he play well for in a complete season? I've never seen it. It hasn't happened yet, you know. And if he was that productive in Oakland last year, I mean, Matt Flynn played one good game last year and was signed off season to be the starter. Now, we know what happened. They brought in a rookie, and a rookie beat him out. He was signed in to be the starter. They identified him and said, you're going to come in. And he's making, sitting on the bench, which is just completely ridiculous, but sitting on the bench making starter money. So I just, you know, and this isn't solid grade as a Redskins fan, because I enjoyed beating up on him when he was in Washington. I was real happy when he was playing, because most of the games they played against the Cowboys, they lost. Every once in a while, you know. Actually, matter of fact, when Dallas lost, it was because I think Brunell or Collins was backing them up. They would manage to come in and do something productive, but he just wasn't very good. So we'll see. We'll see if he plays. You know, and I don't think Monday night's going to prove much. If he doesn't have a good game, we have to look at the 49ers D and say that's a pretty good defense over there. If he has a great game, then I'm going to say, you know, well, it's one game. You know, so I don't think he's going to prove much. My point was, I hope for your team's sake, it's only a one game sit down for Cutler. And if we're going back to like last year where it's going to be extended, does he give you a better chance than Caleb Haney? Yeah. But to me, in that division, you need Cutler without a doubt. You need Cutler. But hey, that's my take, and I'm sticking to it.
I was going to say what you're saying is not in disagreement with the thoughts of the fans. They're not looking for Jason Campbell to come in and save the season. We don't want Jason Campbell to come in and save the season. Chicago can't be Chicago without Cutler. That's exactly right. That's exactly what the fans are looking for. This is only a one game thing. We just have a better backup than we had last year. And to sustain one game, it'll be fine. It wouldn't be anything to worry about.
Right. All right. A couple more things before I get out of here. I did want to comment on, you know, there's been a lot of discussion, and I wish I had these stats Tuesday night at the show with K-Star. But, you know, this is why you don't bench a Tony Romo. This is why you stick by Tony Romo. K-Star was adamant. Bill Cowher said, I would bench him. Bill Cowher, you know, one of the greatest coaches of all time, I would bench him. He's 13 interceptions, and he's not getting it done. And this is what he said, right? He said, no, you stick with him. Well, over the last two games, Romo has completed. Now, the Cowboys are 1-1 in those games. And we saw that they you know, could have won both, but they didn't. But anyway, 1-1. But let's look at Romo's production. Right? I talk about leading the league in 13 interceptions. Last two games, no interceptions. 72.1% completion rating, 530 yards, 3 TDs. And let's see. What else did I? Like a 111 passer rating. So no turnovers, no interceptions, no fumbles, 1-1, and playing, and actually was a candidate for player of the week. I don't know if he won it or not. I haven't checked. Those kind of words mean nothing to me. But, you know, that's how well he's playing right now. So, you know, when you're a Cowboy fan and you have a quarterback like Tony Romo, you can have weeks when there's two turnovers, three interceptions, But he gives you a chance to win. Draws kind of weeks where he throws for 300 yards, no interceptions, and the Cowboys play well. And you're going to have more of those weeks than the others. So you just got to ride it. You got to ride it. He's not Tom Brady, you know. And even Tom Brady has those weeks. He's not Aaron Rodgers. Even Aaron Rodgers has those weeks. It's just when you wear the starting helmet, everybody notices. Everybody's watching. And I said it then, stick by. And I meant it. Last thing I wanted to talk about, and then we're going to hit the picks real quick and then get out of here. You know, there was a lot of talk about Reggie Bush being benched after the fumble. And we saw the Dolphins go down last night. You know, I don't get it. I watched Hard Knocks. I watched the Dolphins. And I'm not impressed with the head coach. And this is why. Rodney Harrison hit it right on the head. This is your team leader. This is a guy who might be the hardest working guy on your team. He's a fix to your franchise. I don't care what the NCAA says. He's a Heisman Trophy winner, national champion. You know, he's a world-class player, okay? And to bench him because of a fumble, I don't get it. I don't understand the message you think you're sending. I think the message you're sending is you're ignorant and you can't coach. You talk to him because he deserves it. And I got to give Reggie Bush a lot of credit. I give him a lot of credit for taking the high road and just saying, hey, I deserve to be benched. But you know that's some bull. You know, inside he was like, what? Hey, I made a mistake. You know, but let me go out here and help you win this game. And it kind of serves the Dolphins right that they got completely toasted that game. They're not going anywhere. And that coach, he's not very good. Did you watch how he handled Chad Johnson, you know, on Hard Knocks? And, you know, did you watch how he dealt with people, you know? When he talked to Chad Johnson about his press conference, I was like, what did you just say? I mean, Chad Johnson went up there and said, well, if I don't make the team, then I'll get into porn. Okay, Chad Johnson is that's his personality. But if you felt that didn't represent the team, what was all that mumbo-jumbo you did? I wish I had the clip to play. It was mumbo-jumbo. You say to him, you don't say it on the field either. You wait till practice is over, or at the beginning of practice, you say, can you come to my office for a minute? You sit him down. You don't sit on the couch with him. You sit behind your desk as a figure of authority. You sit him down, and you say, listen, I heard your press conference. I know your personality. I know your reputation. But that's not something we want here. We don't want you making those kind of comments. That was out of bounds. You're not only representing yourself, you're representing the Miami Dolphins franchise. And to make innuendos about porn, I mean, football's a family sport. Did you ever think of the number of kids that are watching and the implications there? So if you don't mind, I'd appreciate if you refrain from those type of comments. Conduct yourself like a professional, okay? And let me remind you, you haven't made the team yet, okay? We love you. We think you're a talented player. We wouldn't have brought you in, but you haven't made the team yet, okay? So let me just remind you, all right? So are we clear? We understand each other? All right, let's go have a good practice. Done! All that mumbo-jumbo. I just don't like that coach. And I predict that, you know, he's there. It's his first year. They probably give him another year to see what he does. 2 years tops, he's out of there. He's out of there. And do not be surprised to see a franchise head coach go into Miami and take over this team. Do not be surprised to see a big name go in there. There's big money in that market. Big money. You've got celebrity co-owners of that team, right? So big, big market. They're going to go and get a big name when this guy falls flat on his face. All right, let's look at some picks here. Week 11 picks. If you guys listened to Commissioner T, I picked the Bills last night. And we didn't talk about this game. But I did pick the Bills last night, and I was right. Most people did pick the Bills. So, you know, it is what it is. Bills won. Quickly, Atlanta at Arizona. Conference division game. And you can't disrespect. Division games are going to be tough. Atlanta's coming off a loss. They've got something to prove. They don't lose at home. They're going to win this game. Cleveland at Dallas. I mean, you know, as a Cowboy fan, this is the kind of game that really irritates you because Dallas has no home field advantage anymore. I don't know why, but they don't have a home field advantage. Cowboy Nation, please stand up Sunday. And support this team and make a lot of noise and give the Cowboys a home field advantage. You should annihilate Cleveland. It should be 28-0 at halftime. Cleveland, other than having a bit of a running game, it has nothing to offer you. You should pick off Brandon Weeden five times, sack him five times, and crush this team. But you know what's going to happen? It's going to be a close game. It's going to go into the fourth quarter, and Dallas is going to come out with a 24-20 win. You know, and then you're going to hear Jason Garrett, and that's a tough team. They're better than their record, and, you know, it's hard to get wins in the NFL, and just glad we kept fighting and overcame some mistakes and mental errors, and, you know, it's a process now. And I don't want to hear that crap. For once, can we just go in there and whoop a team that we're supposed to whoop, please? Cleveland's terrible. Can you just go in there and beat up on this team, please? So irritated. Green Bay at Detroit. I don't believe in Detroit. I've been saying it for a year and a half. And Green Bay is going to whoop them. Green Bay is going to do what I want Dallas to do. Green Bay is going to go in there, and they're going to spank Detroit. They're going to win by two touchdowns. Cincinnati at Kansas City. It's Cincinnati. It's easy. Kansas City sucks. There's not even anything to talk about. The Jets at the Rams. Jets back against the wall. Rams a better team. Better coach team. Jets back against the wall. This could be an upset special. The Jets back up against the wall. If I was a betting man, I'd go with the Jets. Picking, I'll pick the Rams. But remember I said, watch this game. Upset special. Philly at Washington. Philly's all done. They're all done. Vic's not playing. I don't know if that's good or bad for this team. We saw what Foles did, but now he's got a week of practice. Washington defense is a little better than people think. And RG3 is RG3. It would have been nice to see RG3 against Vic, but whatever. Washington wins this game. Keeps their slim playoff hopes alive. Tampa Bay at Carolina. Tampa Bay's overrated. Okay? Tampa Bay is overrated. They got a great running back. They're overrated. Carolina's going to win this game. Upset special. Carolina wins this game at home. They beat Tampa Bay. The Carolina defense that we've seen flashes of, it's going to play well. Cam Newton is going to outplay Josh Freeman because he's simply better than him. I don't care what anybody says. Big talk, who's better, Freeman or Newton? Come on, really? Cam Newton's better. I don't like either one of them overall, but Cam Newton's a better quarterback than Josh Freeman. Carolina, upset. Jacksonville at Houston. Houston, teams like Houston and Atlanta, they don't lose games they're not supposed to. Houston's going to win this game. New Orleans at Oakland. There's actually a couple people online that have picked Oakland. Carson Palmer's playing really good football, but New Orleans is going to win this game. They're now in postseason mode. They're now in survival mode, and they've won 4 out of 5, and they're going to win this game. San Diego at Denver. Denver. Period. It's over. That division's won. I keep saying conference. That division's won. Indy at New England is going to be a good game. The problem here is I'm picking New England, but the problem here is New England's defense is not that good, but Tom Brady is. And Tom Brady's not going to lose to Andrew Luck. I mean, he's going to take this personal, and he's going to go out there and throw for, 875 yards and 27 touchdowns, and he's going to put that team on his back, and he's going to keep Luck off the field, keep the New England defense off the field, and he's going to win this game. So you got to go with New England, but it's going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to watching that game. Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Ben's not playing. We know that. Ben could be out for a few games. Floating ribs and all that stuff. I mean, that's some ugly stuff I'm hearing. He's out a few games. Now, Ben is tough. Ben's an elite quarterback, and he's tough. I just sat here and ripped up Jason Campbell. Well, I don't have much better to say about Byron Leftwich. And if you ask me which one of the two I would take, I don't even know, be honest with you. Leftwich is just not that good. He's just not. And I don't see Pittsburgh going far. I think it was funny that we had the debate with K-Star. And, you sit there and you want, as a fan, to support your team. As a fan, you want to believe in your team. But you can't hype up your starter to be the best thing since sliced bread, and then your starter goes down and everything's going to be okay. It doesn't work that way. When your starter goes down, your team's in trouble, and you hope that your backup can come in and be productive, but your team's in trouble, especially if you're talking about a Ben Roethlisberger, a Jay Cutler, an Alex Smith, a Michael Vick. These are franchise, a Tony Romo, who had a broken collarbone a couple of years ago, and the team finished 5-3 behind John Kitna, but who knew, okay? So you hope, but is the reason these starters are getting the big money and they're starting the games. So it's got, you got to go with Baltimore. Pittsburgh's defense keeps gives them a fighting chance. Mark Schlereth said, keep out of third and long and you'll win the game. Well, easier said than done. and I like Terrell Suggs' comments about, we'll see if Ben plays. I think he's officially listed out now. Suggs kept the door open and said Ben's too tough, so we'll see. Chicago at San Francisco. We've already said that we don't know if Jay Cutler is going to play. We've heard Train be optimistic about Jason Campbell. Even Train would have to admit, with Jason Campbell on the road in San Francisco and Alex Smith looking like he's playing now, that's a tall order for the Bears. The Bears defense certainly gives them a fighting chance. The only one on ESPN to pick the Bears was, guess who? Mike Ditka, of course. Everyone else has the 49ers. And, you know, if you're not a Bears fan and you look at it objectively without Jay Cutler, you got to say that San Francisco is going to win this game. But it'll be interesting to see. They've had a week with Jason Campbell. And if he actually goes in and is the starter, let's see what he's able to do. Let's see how productive he's able to be. So those are our picks, my picks. I'm sticking to it. Let's see. Oh, Jedi Capricorn has joined us. Yeah, I'm about to get out of here, but Jedi Capricorn, the Giants suck. Well, Jedi, you know, your team does this routinely, and it's a matter of what happens now. They were 6-4 last year and tanked and then came on at the end and was able to beat out the Cowboys, but you don't have us anymore. We're 1-1 this year. You don't have the Cowboys on your schedule. So the theory in New York is that the Giants were just tired. The theory in New York was that they just needed time off. Eli Manning, it took a week off, took his family away, and they need to recharge their energy. So I don't know who you guys have after Thanksgiving weekend there. I don't know who the Giants play. I don't have it up right now. But that'll be a big game to see if the team just needed rest, which I think is bull, or if the team is really sincerely struggling. But the way the Bengals just whooped up on you, that was ugly. That was just ugly. I mean, I came on air and said Eli Manning is an elite quarterback. I came on the air and said you can never count the Giants out. I came on the air and said I've never seen a team in the fourth quarter do what Eli's able to do with these Giants over and over and over again. The game ain't over. He comes back fourth quarter. He leads teams. He does, you know. And I saw no fight against the Bengals. None. I mean, it was just, you know, Bengals jumped out 14-0 and never looked back. Jedi is terrible. Two losses in a row. Come on. Cincinnati, come on, man. Terrible. Yeah, it's a tough loss. It's a team you should have beat. But Cowboys got to play them, too. So I should, you know, we might lose to them, too. We'll see. But anyway, with that said, I'm going to get out of here. Train's still on the air. Any last words before we hang up?
There's one thing. I know you come in on the Bears game. I think with the Bears, if they do win this game, I think it'll come down to how well Mike Tice calls those plays for the offense. I think this is actually more pressure on Tice than it is on Jason Campbell. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we will see. We will see. All right, Train, thanks for joining me. Appreciate it. See you Tuesday night.
No problem.
All right. Dr. Train, co-host on Tuesday nights, and he tries to jump in on Fridays when he can. And, of course, you guys know we have K-Star as the other co-host. So, listen, I hope everybody enjoys football this weekend. And, you know, you're probably starting to get your plans together for Thanksgiving. So, enjoy. Well, I guess we'll be on Tuesday so we can talk about Thanksgiving. So, enjoy the games this weekend. Everybody have a good weekend. It's getting cold around the country now, especially up here in New England. So, you know, it's officially cold out. So with that said, thank everybody for the support. The Friday shows are blowing up. People love it. Pass the word. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Catch us on Twitter, The Madden Voice. Go to our website, The Madden Voice. Facebook, The Madden Voice. Check us out. We'll be back Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. And remember, The Madden Voice is where all feuds are settled on the field. See you Tuesday.